What even is buttercream anyway?
Attention shoppers. Today's 69 cent special is a two-pack.
TJ Cole and Kevin Smith.
Everybody, welcome to 69 Cent Special. I'm TJ Cole.
And I'm Kevin Smith.
And we're going on a trip.
In our little rocket ship.
Little Einstein.
we're not watching a Little Einstein
story. No. We're watching the Buttercream Gang.
One of
our Buttercream Gang VHSs, I should say.
We have two.
But this one's just called The Buttercream Gang.
Which makes me think it's probably the first one.
I'm going to guess that, yeah.
The Buttercream Gang is a Christian media.
Wow, shocker.
Done by Feature Films for Families.
Shocker.
Friend of the show. Friend, not really.
Well, more like crusader against the show at this point.
If they still exist.
Yeah, seriously. I think they might.
That would be a thing that we should have looked up.
Yeah, you know what? You know what?
And if you could do me a favor and then look up the Buttercream Gang.
I will. You know what?
Future TJ, you can cut this out if you want, but...
No. Ha, ha. Yeah, I might. I don't know. Feature...
Films
for
families.
Or known in the convention circuit as F4.
No, that's Fantastic Four.
Oh. Website.
Can we get a...
Oops, the site is currently unavailable.
Can we get four Fs in chat?
So Feature Film for Families is an LDS company, by the way. Latter-day Saints.
Oh, it's a Mormon.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, shit. This is going to be a Mormon feature.
I only see websites that list their videos. I don't see...
Any history?
Correct.
Hmm.
While many of the company's employees belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, aka Mormons, the company itself makes no claims of any religious affiliation.
Oh, that's good. Except, like, Jesus-y.
But the founder of the company does believe that R-rated movies have a negative impact on society.
He's right, but not for the right reason.
No. What would that reason be?
There needs to be more sex and violence.
Yeah, dude, I want more boning and nippling.
No, I mean, you know, I have a mild crusade going against the MPAA in general.
Yeah, they're
unaccountable white old men, mostly. Yeah.
They're like the homeowners association
of movies.
Yeah.
And I don't like homeowners associations either.
No, it's a bunch of unemployed old white people that just want to find things to complain about so they feel alive.
Does it count as unemployed if they're retired?
Yeah. To me, yes, because they're not doing something like a hobby.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could be unemployed and have a hobby.
Sure, that's more productive.
I just don't understand the unemployed.
I'll accept retired.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
retired.
I should say it doesn't matter what they don't have anything better to do.
Right.
Which is
they're
worse.
Old people that don't have anything better to do, but like police others, basically. That's this company.
In addition to creating their own films, Feature Film for Families also released a few Hollywood titles with edited content, such as Space Camp, which had all of its swearing censored.
I haven't heard of the film Space Camp.
Apparently, it was a movie. From 1986.
We need to find Space Camp.
We do need to find Space Camp. Films produced by Feature Films for Families include Behind the Waterfall, which I have.
We have it.
The Buttercream Gang, which we are watching right now.
Gonna watch it.
In Your Wildest Dreams. I don't know what that is.
Nope.
No More Baths. Picture Perfect.
Okay.
The Retrievers. I hope it's about puppies.
It's not.
Rigoletto, which I also have.
We do. Rigoletto's them?
It's
right there.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh.
Split Infinity, which sounds like a sequel to Event Horizon.
That one is where you say the phrase to boldly go where no man has gone before. Oh no, wait, that's Split Infinity. that's a joke one. For just me.
And The Velveteen Rabbit.
What?
Additionally,
The Velveteen Rabbit?
Yeah. I guess so.
An adaptation of the children's book, The Velveteen Rabbit?
I don't think the Random House one. I don't know. It just says The Velveteen Rabbit. Additionally, FFFF also distributed several English dubs of animated films, usually produced in Eastern Europe, such as Scamper the Penguin.
Okay.
The Seventh Brother.
Got it.
And Willy the Sparrow.
I don't know why, but my brain parsed that as like having Willy be like a verb.
By the way, editing, this is all off of the TV Tropes article for Feature Films for Families, which I will link in the show notes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Future TJ, that was on the TV Tropes for FFFF?
Oh, I am Future TJ. Thank you for reminding me that that is on the TV Tropes for FFFF.
I mean, technically, you were Future TJ.
That's true. I am, will, and always... am, and always will be.
You're older than you've ever been. And now, you're even older. And now you're older still.
Oh my god.
Go listen to They Might Be Giants.
What is the full wiki? Sorry, I found an article for Feature Films for Families on a website called The Full Wiki.
Is that the wiki, but also with the deep forbidden knowledge?
I hope, but it's green. The full wiki. Students, we find sources for your essays so you don't have to. Oh! Hey, students out there. It combines a bunch of sources and then more prevalently displays the references.
Oh.
That's pretty cool. Feature Films for Families. It was established in 1988.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In 2006, Feature Films for Families and the Dove Foundation paid $70,000 together to the Merchandising Practices Revolving Fund. Feature Films for Families had created an alliance with the Dove Foundation, which was the one that did Cool Dog, I believe.
Yes.
A nonprofit foundation which is known for its activities of rating, reviewing, and endorsing films.
No, I think Dove Foundation rated.
You're correct.
Cool Dog.
FFFF. Worked with the Dove Foundation as part of a nationwide campaign to promote the Dove Foundation's nonprofit organization.
Interesting.
Two companies worked together via telemarketing, but because Feature Films for Families is for-profit, the Allegian violated Missouri's no-call law.
Ooh.
In 2009, Verizon Wireless filed suit against Feature Films for Families after the company allegedly placed nearly 500,000 illegal automated telemarketing calls in 10 days to the mobile phones on Verizon's networks. The calls were recorded advertisements for the FFFF film The Velveteen Rabbit.
My God.
Wow, well, look at that.
Huh.
We're watching a video by a criminal organization.
Not the first time and not the last.
No, probably not the last.
Because I guarantee you Cool Dog was made by the Mafia.
Oof, yeah.
That's why they're so incompetent in that movie.
I peaked hard on that one.
You did.
That's both in
terms of comedy and in terms of sound.
And in terms of personal growth. It's all down here from Hill.
All down here from Hill, folks.
My English peaked there as well.
Do you want me to read this box?
I would love it if you
read
this.
So on the front, there's some very nearly unintelligible text.
Dude,
it's Arial font.
Prime lack of design understanding.
Yeah, the Buttercream Gang. Good kids, small town fun, and unconditional love for a struggling friend.
God, it's like... I'm probably going to get flack for this.
You definitely are, from me.
It's like conservative stereotype jack-off list.
It hits all my buttons.
All my erogenous zones.
TJ, before I begin.
Yep.
This video cassette may not be rented or sold without written license.
I hope the thrift store had written license.
They did not.
Cool.
But also, fuck them.
You got them.
Length?
Make enough money.
Hey, TJ, length? Yep. 95 minutes. We are fucked. Okay.
Oof.
Summer for... Summer for 14-year-old...
Yeah, that's a tongue twister.
Summer for 14-year-old Scott, Pete, Eldon, and Lanny?
Ugh.
Eldon and Lanny are not real names.
Eldon and Lanny sound like fucking...
Laurel and Hardy, but for, like, lameoids.
They're the Chinese knockoff.
The the Hong Kong knockoff. Summer for 14-year-old Scott, Pete, Eldon, and Lanny means having fun and helping those in need around town.
Oh, that's sweet.
These boys become known as Lame as Hell.
It's the Buttercream Gang, isn't it?
They become known as the Buttercream Gang. Term coined during the early days of Elk Ridge when the local minister asked boys to help widows churn their cream into butter.
Whoa, that's...
It's a lot of backstory for one sentence.
That's gotta be an innuendo.
You know, she was really nice. Buttercream.
No. Read that sentence again.
The boys become known as the Buttercream Gang.
Uh-huh.
A term coined during the early days of Elk Ridge. That's the town.
Correct.
When the local minister asked boys to help widows churn their cream into butter.
I can see.
Boys, these widows, they've lost their husbands. Someone's got to churn their butter.
Oh, that's gross. They're boys. They will become men.
And not in the way you want.
And not in the band, either.
And I swear.
By the moon and the stars in the sky. That was the country version.
And I swear.
And I swear. By the moon. There's a country cover of that song, isn't there?
There definitely is.
Yeah.
Then Pete makes some new friends and forms a very different kind of gang.
The Churn Busters.
He shoots 8 people.
What?
No. But
Buttercream Massacre.
But Scott, Eldon, and Lanny won't give up on their friend, and they strive, with help from their community, to bring Pete back to his former values. Will they succeed? This is a moving story of love and devotion to friendship.
Wow, no mention of Jesus other than a pastor.
Yeah, we're going to get there later.
Though. Oh, no, absolutely.
Producer Don A. Judd.
Okay.
Director Bruce Nabauer.
Oh, he's one of my favorites.
Director of photography T.C. Christensen.
The Christian Christensen.
Christopher. And music by Kurt Bester. This is done by Feature Films for Families. They were based in Murray, Utah at the time.
There we go.
That's where their P.O. box was anyway.
Ah, okay.
And at the end, we're going to go over some parents' guide.
Oh, parents' guide.
So we'll have to actually pay attention to the movie this time.
Ah, beans.
TJ?
Yes?
What do you expect from Buttercream Gang?
Oh, God. I expect it to be saccharine. Like hyper-innocence, you know?
Judging from the whole 2 screenshots we have access to, that's going to be a 10-4, good buddy.
For some reason, I'm getting a Berenstain Bears vibe.
That's from all the
It's all like the pastel
illustration.
Green. Yeah.
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 It's probably going to have that sort of tone.
Mm-hmm.
Except instead of watching too much TV, Pete's going to go experience theater or something.
Yeah. 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 What
kind of gang do you think he's going to start?
Well, I was going to say what kind of sin is Pete going to be involved in?
Lust.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just going on like a boner spree?
Or sloth.
Yeah, those are both very good. It could also be gluttony.
Yeah.
We're not going to give up on our friend, even though he's eating all these ribs at the ribs contest.
The fact that there's a ribs contest,
yeah,
is probably a bad sign.
You're playing like a xylophone.
And he's eating them all.
Yeah, you got to keep your ribs intact.
They're just bones. You're going to play them like a xylophone. They're just bones. That was my favorite part of the Lion King,
Hyenas.
Desktop, play program thing.
Oh, like desktop toy?
Yeah. Well, it was like a storybook.
Oh, okay.
And it also had activities.
Yeah, I think I remember those. I think I remember the Robin Hood one.
Yeah, I had the Lion King one because I was really into Lion King.
Really into Lion King. Don't read into that, folks.
Actually, don't read into that. You won't come to the conclusion you expect. I'm really into Zazu. No.
Anyone want to bang Iago?
Anyone ever really want to, listen to Rowan Atkinson just talk for a while?
I mean, absolutely.
And get a real big, massive pile of money.
Massive bout of inspiration.
I expect this to be the most boring fucking thing we've ever watched.
Yeah, I don't know how they can fill 95 goddamn minutes.
Now, I should say, Last Chance Detectives, I thought, was also going to be boring as hell.
It's true, and that was kind of awesome.
That was rad as fuck.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, 95 goddamn hours of them trying to...
Hours?
It's going to feel like 95 goddamn hours.
Lots of hours.
Many hours of them trying to fucking talk their friend into not looking at a violent movie. That's what I assume it is.
Oh, I bet. He's going to go into watching Space Camp with all the swears.
Yeah. He's going to have general preteen curiosity at the time when you're supposed to be exploring the world and your own world.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to stop him.
I mean, they're not preteens.
Are they teens?
They're 14.
Oh, so teenage curiosity.
Yeah.
And when you're supposed to be exploring and learning about yourself and the world.
I can't wait.
And they're going to, under the guise of friendship.
Uh-huh.
Squash it and pull him into a bubble.
I think that's going to be true. They're going to pull him into a very right-wing echo chamber, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're going to radicalize him, and he's going to go to a rally.
The buttercream rally.
I can't wait to hear this movie's theme song, I Was a Teenage Buttercream.
My favorite Pokemon. But
Buttercream.
Is that just a shiny Grimer?
Go, Buttercream.
Kill me.
Oh, hold on. Buttercream used churn.
Anything else you expect?
Praying.
Mm-hmm. Which vowel?
Huh?
In the word praying. A or E?
A.
Hmm.
Eight.
I expect a lot of the other one.
With an E?
Yeah, they're, something predatory is going to happen here.
Yeah.
What with all the butter creaming.
Oh, yeah. Do you expect to see any butter and or cream?
I expect to see one scene where we get to see the old-timey buttercream gang.
Oh, true. This is the origin story.
Usually, it's going to be in sepia tone.
Oh, 100%.
Almost guaranteed.
Video toaster ass.
They're going to... Well... This is a feature film for families. So.
True.
Could be a little better.
Could be like a video toaster oven.
Or they could have put some colorful plastic over the lens.
It's day for night for day.
I'm expecting like overall like okay production values. I'm not expecting my voice to be good at all.
No, I'm... This is going to set us up for our Buttercream Gang sequel that we have.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to expect because I don't know how much this will tell us about the sequel. Probably a lot.
But I'm expecting the sequel to actually be a reboot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like
we're going to get four new kids. They're going to be a different Buttercream Gang.
Because
they wasted too much time between filmings, and they had to replace all the actors anyway.
Mm-mm. They all hit puberty, and their voices got too low to be considered children.
Now here's a problem that I'm noticing.
Now, here's a problem.
The four kids on the front
are
all boys.
Correct. Oh!
The picture on the back is two girls.
Oh.
Are they also in the Buttercream
Gang? What were the
four
names again?
Scott.
Yep.
Pete.
Okay.
Eldon.
Okay.
And Lanny.
I hope the last one sounds like a girl.
It could be a girl name. Eldon could go either way.
Yeah.
Scott and Pete are pretty cut and dry here.
Yeah. Unless I don't expect this to be radical, like, naming, like, breaking gender bounds.
It was 1991 and they're Mormons.
Yeah, no. I'm surprised there's not Aiden, Braden, Jaden, and Crayden.
Aiden, Braden, Jaden, and Nod.
Crayden, he's a giant lizard that shoots like spikes.
Oh no, it's a Raiden, Braden, Crayden, and a Bendigo.
Ah, there we go, perfect.
You want to watch this fucker?
Yeah, let's get it over with.
All right, we'll see you guys in approximately 95
minutes. We're going to go cream our butters real quick.
Cream them butters.
Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A bitch! A bitch!
Welcome back.
Hello!
We watched The Buttercream Gang.
Unfortunately.
That was 95 minutes long.
My God, it was a 95 minute long video with a 20 minute long story.
Yeah.
Although it went in a different direction than I thought it would.
How so?
Well, okay, there was still... Spoiler alert. There's still, like, the redemption story, quote-unquote, at the end.
Right.
But I thought it was going to be a lot more cliche.
Like he stays in the town and he's redeemed by, like...
Yeah. All goes back to normal.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they're, it was a refraining from the status quo sort of thing.
Sure.
I appreciated that.
Rather than really just go through and rehash the whole plot, A, because we're really bad at that, and B, there is none.
And we've forgotten half of it.
There was a lot to forget.
Yeah.
I really wanted to talk about, like, a personal crusade I'm kind of going on.
Sure.
I'm trying to find the best Christian media.
Okay.
And my criteria for that are good message.
Okay.
Good
message for anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Regardless of religion.
Correct.
But, you know, obviously going to tie it back to religion, but...
Naturally.
You know. Doesn't push the standard Christian persecution propaganda.
Mm, good one. I like that.
And is fun to watch.
Yeah.
Those are the three criteria. It's not that hard to do.
You'd think.
And so far, the only one that I can possibly think of is maybe VeggieTales.
Yeah. So not even, you're not counting, McGee and Me?
No, because McGee and Me sucked.
That's true. I was entertained, but...
It wasn't fun to watch. And also, those fucking cartoons.
Which ones?
The nightmarish ones.
I don't remember.
The one where they're, like, playing baseball?
Oh, yeah, fuck that. Never mind, you're right. It was hell.
Yeah. Like, we went to hell.
Yeah. Sorry, my VCR is, like, screaming in agony.
It does not like how long this tape is.
No, it's rewinding.
It's right about at the
stop,
end.
It'll stop any minute now. Now. That was pretty good. That was like a couple seconds off. But not a couple seconds, like half a second off. Anyway.
They didn't need to know any of that.
You're welcome.
Because I guarantee they couldn't hear it.
Correct.
So, let's talk about the criteria.
Okay.
Let's start with the bottom of the criteria.
So quick question before that. Are we going to use this rubric for all Christian media from now on?
I think so.
Okay, cool. I'm down with that.
Mostly because they never seem to have like much of a plot. If they do have a plot, and it's fun to talk about, like the Donut Man, for example.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That one has sort of a high concept associated with it.
Yeah, that's more of an art piece than Christian media.
I mean, it's still very much Christian media. But like... don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand. And it sucks.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's more high concept.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty low concept. This is easy to understand.
Okay. Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
And the plot basically doesn't exist.
Nah.
There's a
tiny bit of plot.
Right, and the movie meanders a lot.
Oh, it lingers.
Which brings me to the point that I want to address first.
Sure.
Was it fun to watch?
No.
Not really.
Nope.
So strike one already.
This was a saltine of a movie.
Yeah. Nothing that offensive.
No.
There was some good artistry there.
Sure. It was well crafted.
And I gotta say, the child actors?
Very, like, surprisingly decent.
Pretty, actually, all the acting was pretty okay, yeah, considering what they were given.
Yeah, I didn't have any complaints about the acting. I'd even argue that the antagonist was very good.
Yeah, very emotionally gripping.
Yeah.
So, actually, you know what? Despite the length,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna revise my answer. I think it was a pretty fun watch.
Yeah. Okay.
It was worth the viewing.
That's a good point. If it were like 60 minutes,
perfect.
I could say this was a fun watch.
Yeah.
But there were so many points where it felt like they were just, they made a plot point mm-hmm. and just sat there.
For example, the whole like dance thing.
Yeah.
And the romance between our boy Scott and Margaret.
Yeah, that's cute. That was sweet. But like, there were several points where it's like, we know what's coming
mm-hmm.
or we have an idea what's coming.
Right.
Just get to it.
Yeah. And so. They, I don't want to say pussyfoot around, but they pussyfoot around.
You can say that. You just did, in fact.
I suppose that's referring to a cat.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I'd say this was actually kind of an okay watch.
I wasn't ever angry at it.
No.
I was just sort of...
We haven't...
It just existed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I guess, yeah, it's... I mean, it's designed to be inoffensive.
And while we're here, let's go ahead and actually talk about the plot.
Sure.
What little there is.
Yep.
Basically, we got Scott, Pete...
Grunches.
Andros, and... And Lanny.
Yep. Andros. It's on the back of the box.
Eldon.
Eldon. The Elder Wand.
those four are the Buttercream Gang. Pete, who is the leader at the start of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and looks like young Steve Buscemi.
Seriously.
Mixed with Paul Rubens.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
A little bit. With a Newsies accent.
He goes to Chicago... Quote unquote Chicago.
Definitely not Chicago I've ever been to. I've been to Chicago a lot.
For one, no Polly sausages.
Exactly.
Where'd
the bears?
No bears. He even brings a fucking White Sox pennant with him.
Yeah. Ugh.
It was 91.
Yeah, I know. I'll forgive it.
And also, you know, he didn't write it. He goes off to Chicago to help out his aunt. And we're told mm-hmm. very often that this is the closest thing he's ever had to having a mom because his mom is dead. Both yeah. of his parents, dead.
Yeah. To quote his aunt, if your parents were alive today, they'd be very proud.
And then he immediately proves that wrong.
Yep.
Because he joins a gang.
Oops.
Gets framed for a robbery?
Yes. His gang buddies rob... a thing, and he was there, and they right. arrest him alongside them.
And then, like, a rival gang frames him for robbing someone's locker in school, and he gets expelled.
Yeah.
He then gets sent back
to
Elkridge.
Elkridge. I was going to say Eagle Creek.
That's basically the same name.
Yeah.
Except replace elk with a bird.
And ridge with a creek.
So really nothing alike. They start with E.
Yep. Elks and eagles, people. Same animal.
Bird plus place. Exactly. Or animal plus place. Because elks are not birds.
Equals small American town.
Yeah.
Beaver Gulch.
Tit Pond.
Finch Forest.
Ass Town.
Buffalo Basin. Monitor Lizard Mountain.
Oh,
that just sounds like a fantasy place.
It's a little long in the tooth.
Macaque Grove.
You know they pronounce it macaque.
Damn straight. Anyway,
he gets sent back to Elkridge, and
Eldon.
Elkridge. I was making sure that's what it was.
Yeah, no,
that's,
you're right.
We got on a tangent.
Yep.
Basically, he starts bringing the town back to shit.
Yeah.
Because he finds the only other two tough guys in town.
Two assholes. He essentially goes to Chicago, turns in, like, finds, quote, friends that sort of twist him to the dark side.
Right, he Anakin Skywalker's.
Yeah, and then he gets expelled from his school and gets sent back to Elkridge,
where he
and
then
sort of
forms a new, like, evil gang.
Yeah, sort of like you said, brings that part of quote Chicago back, back to Elkridge.
The authentic part of Chicago.
The
yes.
absolutely correct and not Utah, Chicago.
And Scott, our main character, basically tries to fix him.
Yeah.
Repeat for 80 minutes.
Yeah, essentially. Because he's his friend. And they, he wants him back.
There's actually a lot of good back and forth there. Like, he almost succeeds a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But then...
It's like that like Kylo Ren moment, you know?
Yeah, but then Pete's like, no, I'm an asshole. As it turns out, still an asshole.
Oops.
Sabotages his baseball game. Throws a firecracker at the dance. Has his friends beat the shit out of Scott?
Yeah, Jesus.
At one juncture?
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, they have a feud. They have a war. And that brings us to another question that I have on the...
Oh, sure. Rubric number two. Rubric point number two?
Yes. Was the message good?
That's a tricky one. I think partially yes and partially no.
Mm-hmm.
Partially yes, because there were parts where the, like, when someone's acting out like this, like, listen and still, like...
See if you can, like...
Treat them well. Try and
help them out of what they... Because a lot of the time when people are acting out like this, it's because they're disenfranchised.
Yeah.
You know, they're disadvantaged.
Yeah. Offer help. And,
right.
Yeah.
Which
is sweet. And I love that.
That's a good message. Mm-hmm. On the other hand...
Yeah. On the other hand, there was this... And partially this is okay. Like a message of trying to help your friend out of that. But Pete repeatedly shows that he has no desire to go back to what was.
Right.
He's
like, no, I'm an asshole now.
Yeah.
Pretty definitively.
Until the end when he leaves for Chicago.
Total cop out.
Yeah, this was a... He leaves for Chicago and then...
He doesn't just leave for Chicago. He tries to rob the local general store.
Oh, that was for the money hilarious scene.
To get there. And then the guy's like, no, I'll just give the money to you.
Yeah,
and
you
then
need, you're not... You need the money. I'm more than happy to help.
Listen, I'm loaded.
Yeah, yeah. I run the general store here.
I'm the richest bastard in town.
Everyone gets tomatoes from me.
I'm good. You need the money.
Yeah.
Which, you know, good for him.
Yeah.
But then he's like, I don't want your fucking money. And then he runs. That was actually a really, like, powerful scene.
It was. And
as far as this movie goes, anyway.
Pete was very... The guy who played Pete was very, very good in it.
Because he was very clear, like... He was having a mental breakdown, the character.
Yeah, he was.
I believed it.
He was pouring his heart into it. It was great.
Yeah. But yeah, so that... And then he... Until he runs, goes to Chicago, and then at the end, it's revealed, oh, he started a new chapter of the Buttercream Gang there.
Yeah, more or less.
To, like,
he turned his gang basically into a non-profit organization.
Yeah. Which... Cool?
Yeah. I honestly would have been...
Not bad for a guy who, at best, has a GED?
Yeah, and like, while that's sweet and sort of optimistic, it would have been more interesting if the lesson coming out of it was like, look, he resisted wanting to be your friend again for so long. Mm-hmm. There are people you just have to cut out of your life.
Right.
Like, it sucks.
On the other hand,
yeah.
If it had come back and we thought the thing told him was...
He died.
It was he died.
Yeah.
You know, they recovered the body,
mm-hmm.
you know. The lesson that would have probably sent
mm-hmm.
is don't try to fix anybody.
That's true. That's true.
They will just end up, like, ruining themselves anyway.
This is Christian media where it's very black and white, and that's right. A good point.
I do kind of like that he had a rocky road.
Mm-hmm. But he stuck with it.
And, like, learned his lesson.
Yes.
Because I like the idea of, like, a redemption arc
mm-hmm.
for people.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that people can change and be better people.
100%.
But some people don't.
Yeah. Some people actively resist it.
And are just douchebags forevermore.
Yeah.
And cutting them out of your life shouldn't be, like...
That's what you should do.
Right. So, overall, mixed lesson.
Exactly. So, we'll give that a 3 out of 5.
Well, it's more of a pass-fail. A mix out of pass, let's say. A 50%.
A fass.
Nope.
A pale.
Worse.
Oh.
I don't know. And Christ wasn't brought up at all. So
there was a they
saw
said grace
church.
They were in church and they said grace.
But really, Christ as a figure and as a religion didn't really pop up.
No, I actually, that was really, really nice because it was just general lessons about being a good person.
So didn't feed into the Christian persecution complex at all, which is to be expected. This came out in 91, 92.
That's true. Before that, that wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Left Behind hadn't even come out yet.
Was that early 2000s?
It was late 90s.
Okay. Got it. The book series you're talking about?
The book series followed by the movies followed by the phenomenon, yeah. Which we promised we would watch.
I know.
And we still haven't.
I know.
We thought about watching it today, but Buttercream Gang was whispering.
Yeah.
He was like,
just like yoga. just like yoga, we got to listen to our bodies.
We do. But sometimes we have to listen to our hearts. And my heart is telling me never to watch Buttercream Gang ever again.
But we have the sequel.
I know. And we're going to watch the sequel. Right now.
We're required by law, by a 69 cent special law.
So yeah, overall, I would say this gets a half pass on my like book.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of
passable.
It's definitely one of the best like overall religious media that we've watched for the show.
Yeah. No, I'll give you that. Absolutely.
I'd go this one. How to Make Real Friends is more entertaining.
Oh, absolutely. That one's a hilarious romp.
But has worse messaging.
Way worse.
Do
you want me to pull up our episode list?
Yeah. Yeah. Show me. Yeah. Let's do a quick little boop-boop-da-da rate-em.
Is a proud sponsor of the Nintendo World Championships 1990.
Okay. So let's see. We've Hello. Got... are we counting Psychic Confession?
No.
Okay. The Donut Man.
Ooh, so Donut Man had a really bad message.
It's true. Tribulation.
Oh, fantastic. That one got one
that
out
one
of three.
That one really
didn't
have a message. That was just like Christian mythology.
Right, so it got one out of three.
Yeah.
So it's actually poor.
Because
it was fun to watch.
McGee and Me, The Big Lie.
Okay, so let's actually go through the rubric on all of these. So,
sure, okay.
So back up to Donut Man.
Donut Man.
Message.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit too heavy on the like...
Heavy on the Jesus, but I thought the message over here was...
It was okay.
Make them suffer.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And then the big racism in the one.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm going to go ahead and say bad.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Persecution Complex. Not really there.
No, didn't feel it.
Fun to watch.
Oh, a blast.
This one's the highest ranking one then.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That one's got 2 out of 3.
Cool.
I should probably be writing these down.
Tribulation.
That one's got a 1 out of 3.
Yep.
Because it's fun to watch and nothing else.
Yeah. Let's see. McGee and Me, The Big Lie.
I would go ahead and say decent messaging.
Mm-hmm. Was it sort of a cry wolf thing? I barely
yeah.
remember. Okay.
It was a don't fucking lie, you prick.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. This is the one with the old Native American dude.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Not really a persecution complex thing going on, but not really fun to watch.
No, it was kind of a slog and those nightmare cartoons.
So that one's tied with Donut Man.
Hey.
2 out of 3.
Last Chance Detectives, Mystery Lights of Navajo Mesa.
Oh, holy fuck. Okay, no, this one's a 3 out of 3.
Yeah, this one's banging, dude.
This one's a banger.
Yeah.
It's got great messaging.
Yep.
Fucking no persecution complex to be seen.
Nah.
Fucking a blast from start to finish.
It's basically a long episode of Goosebumps.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Last Chance Detectives, that's the top.
Quigley's Village, Bananas, Big Bug.
0 out of 3.
Cream.
0 out of 3.
Correct.
Actually, no, technically 1 out of 3.
Yeah?
No persecution complex.
True. Why do bad things happen? I'm giving this a 0.
Yeah, this one's a 0.
Because the...
Not fun, persecution complex.
Massive persecution complex.
And not good messaging.
Nope. When things seem impossible.
1 out of 3.
Fun to watch? Or message?
0 out of 3.
Okay. Perfect. Salty at Camp Candu.
-1 out of 3.
Perfect.
No, technically, okay. Technically, there's no persecution complex, but fun to watch gets a -1.
Yeah.
Out of, like, so it's... like they're all out of one, right?
Yes.
So it's either 1-1 mm-hmm. or 0-1. Fun to Watch gets a -1, so it goes to 0.
And then finally, from our first episode, which I don't want to listen to because it's probably garbage,
mm-hmm.
Young people ask, how can I make real friends?
That one?
That's a Fun to Watch.
It's Fun to Watch, has a persecution complex, and has a bad message.
Yeah, so one out of...
One out of three. So, Last Chance Detectives, man.
Yeah.
We found it.
We've done it.
I've already completed my crusade, as it turns out.
Hooray! Don't worry, we've got plenty more.
Crusades. And tapes.
Mainly tapes.
We actually don't have very many crusades. So, yeah, overall, I think this one was a fun one. Two out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, it was okay. I guess I just couldn't get over the 90-minute runtime.
95 minutes. It's too long.
This feels like it's desperate for being like TV length.
Yeah, it wants to be cut down.
And they stretched it to 90
minutes. It wants
to
be about 45 to 50 minutes.
I would be down like a clown for that length.
We could probably cut the scene right in the beginning where they're establishing like, oh, they're friends with all the local neighbor kids and they do the earthquake thing.
Yeah. No, it's like, you don't need that.
You don't need it.
You can tell from the interactivity between them otherwise.
They're good enough actors.
Yeah. I don't know about the very beginning where we establish him going to Chicago. We can probably establish that just by him. Well, no, we would have to because we'd have to establish him as being formerly part of the Buttercream Gang.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
They added it, like, and we gave the movie shit for saying, if your parents were alive.
Yeah.
But, like, they needed to get that across as, like, a definite thing.
Yeah. Oh, hey, they did.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just mostly cut out, like, most of the middle.
It's a lot of filler in the middle.
Yeah.
It just takes some time filling up and in the middle of the show.
We didn't mention the bop.
Oh, fuck. What was it called again?
There was a song in there. I think it was called... Fuck. My brain wants to say Day by Day, but that ain't it.
The word day is in it. Better days?
No.
Something about better days? Brighter days?
Day, baby, day?
Dayo? Me say Deo.
It's not that one.
Daylight come in, me wanna go home.
Also a bop.
Fucking slapper.
But
yeah, they played it like, what, three times?
Three times.
Credits and then two times during the movie. Yep.
And it's a slapper.
It's a fucking like 80s ass slow jam. Or 90s ass slow jam, I guess. Early 90s. Late
80s. No.
Oh no, what?
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
What's up?
Hey.
Huh?
I know we don't like typically just read entire IMDb reviews.
Oh, no, we did on Cool Dog.
I know, but I don't want to make it like a constant like thing.
Sure.
But this is a very troubling review.
Okay.
It's from 24th of October, 2003. This is before they had star ratings on IMDb.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, there's no star rating here.
Wow. Okay.
Cinematic gold.
Yes. Do it.
This movie is the most amazing piece of artwork I have ever seen. Did you notice that when Pete came back to Elk Ridge from Chicago, he wanted to change his last name to Valdez?
Yeah. Because that's his mom's last name?
Those Mormon screenwriters sure know how to make racism funny. I really love this movie because it's reality-based. Okay, this guy's sarcastic.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You know, it really reminded me of the times in Little League when I would stand up and start cheering, "You got the rat one, baby."
Oh, that's a point we didn't.
Oh yeah, this kid's fucking obsessed with ads.
Yeah, obsessed with commercials specifically.
To the point where like when Pete comes back from Chicago, and like is talking to,
it's like, "Oh, I saw Scott, this sweet commercial."
Yeah. For fucking Life Alert?
Yeah. And he's cracking up at the "Fallen, I Can't Get Up" thing, even though one of the first things we see the Buttercream Gang do is help
save
an old
lady
up.
Yeah. And like
he's probably like, "Oh, I can connect to that on a deep level."
But like, he's explaining it like he's never had a TV. So, like, do they not have TV in Elk Ridge? Is that why these kids are so fucking dull?
Maybe, yeah. They've never seen a celebrity deathmatch on MTV.
I'm not done. I know you're not done. With this ad. Or this review. Five random reasons why this movie is amazing.
Oh, hell yes, please. I like lists.
So, I should point out, I think this guy's being sarcastic.
It sounds like he's sarcastic.
If he's not being sarcastic, I am being sarcastic.
Okay, cool.
Number one.
Death of the author and all that.
Number one. The women know their roles in family life.
Oh, Jesus. Whoa. Holy shit. Okay. That's off to a strong start.
Number two. Yep. That ungrateful widow Jenkins makes the boys do her shopping after they save her life. She really gets my blood boiling.
I've never been so angry about this. This is old, the most
millennial
lady
humor I've this ever read.
This is such ironic detachment.
The word candy does not exist in Utah. It has been replaced with several ellipses.
Treats! That's true. That's actually a good point.
They never say the word candy.
They say treats.
A lot.
Yeah.
Like a worrying amount.
Is that like they're trying to skirt making it sound like they're advertising candy to children?
They have Coke labels everywhere.
They hand out Cokes.
Hand out Cokes, hand out Pepsis.
I could really go for a Coke. I don't know why.
For some reason.
For some reason, I am craving that Coke.
I really want some treats. Number four, yep. The bad gang is very menacing. Throwing rocks at bottles, setting trash on fire, ding dong ditching, kick me signs on backs, you name it.
Kick me signs on backs.
Number five, four man choreographed Huffy skin outs. Because they had bike stunts.
Oh,
if that's
God.
If this stuff doesn't excite you, then stay out of Utah.
I like that one.
October 2003.
What's the guy's name? Or girl's name?
Ryan McElroy.
Oh, okay. McElroy?
No. No. McAlary.
Oh, yeah. McCallery?
McCallery?
McElroy?
M. Cowrie? I don't know.
Mmm. Cowrie.
Oh, God.
That was a good one.
That's a better review than we had.
Right? But yeah, they say treats a lot.
They do say treats a lot, and there were Huffy stunts.
There were some sick Huffy stunts.
What movie
Yep.
that we've seen so far
Yep.
has had better representation of children's modes of transportation?
Future Sport.
Well, hold on. I haven't given you your multiple choices.
Okay.
This movie.
Okay.
Last Chance Detectives.
Ooh, okay.
Or Flying Ryan.
I'm going to go with C.
Flying Ryan?
Flying Ryan.
The Heelys were more integrated into the plot.
Correct.
And
there were kids on bikes as well. Dodging karate people.
And sometimes running into karate people.
Exactly.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I'm going to go with Flying Ryan. You're right.
Yeah.
God, why did I...
Yeah, kids hit people all the time with their bikes. And Heelys.
Heelys especially.
Especially Heelys.
You cannot stop when you're on Heelys.
Yeah, it's... You're a runaway inertia machine.
It's not like they were designed specifically...
Watch out, I got the inertia!
That was their slogan.
Yeah.
Watch out, I got the inertia. How do you spell inertia real quick?
I-N-U-R-S-H.
That's got to go in the description.
Watch out, I got the inertia.
Kevin and TJ got the inertia.
I want that on a shirt with a Heely.
We got the inertia.
It's too good. We couldn't come up with anything else for the buttercreamers. Oh, yeah, they call themselves the buttercreamers.
Which is worse than buttercream gang, I'd like to point out.
It is. Technically more accurate.
Also, the group of little girls called themselves the buttercreamettes.
Those poor innocent ears.
And at the end, Margaret gets them to add a girl to the group.
Yeah, her.
Yeah, her.
Yeah.
Which, bad form, Scott. Don't date someone you work with.
Yeah, she gave him a little smooch on the cheek.
As incentive.
Yeah. Oh, another lesson I learned from this movie.
Uh-huh.
Nerdy girls, dude.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, Margaret would have definitely been my type.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would have been like, Dad, can I watch the Buttercream Gang again? He's like, why the fuck do you want to watch that 95-minute movie again?
No reason.
No reason.
Yeah. I really like bikes.
I really like them huffy stunts.
Huffy stunts.
I don't know why we bought this Mormon movie.
We're not even Mormon.
TJ?
Yes.
Would you recommend this movie to an enemy?
To a friend first. To a friend. No.
No.
No. No, I'd recommend something more exciting to a friend.
Yeah.
Like a Last Chance Detectives.
Last Chance Detectives, which I had forgotten was the perfect specimen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you recommend this movie to an enemy?
No, because then they'd learn just to go to Chicago to get all their dark dealings.
See, I would.
Yeah?
Because
you want them in Chicago instead of here?
Not just that. Although, plus.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they'd meet Coach Ditko while they were there and straighten their life out.
He would straighten their life
out. Actually, you know what? Our boy straightened his life out when he went back to Chicago.
That's true. Thanks, Coach Ditka.
I choose to believe he met Coach Ditka and he sat him down with some Polish sausage.
And he taught him real Chicago cuisine.
Like
all meat.
Like just meat.
Just meats and breads and potatoes.
And cheese.
And lots of cheese.
Not as much
cheese. No ketchup, but mustard.
How does Chicago feel about relish?
Oh, they have this like bright green relish they use.
Oh, nuclear relish?
Yeah, that's Chicago relish.
Got it.
Yeah, they love it. Relish is great. Pickles? Oh.
Okay, but not ketchup.
On hot dogs specifically, not ketchup.
Why not?
I don't know.
Just a taste thing?
I guess. It's just Chicago dogs have never had ketchup.
Is it because they're... So are Chicago dogs like physically different from other hot dogs?
No.
It's more about what you put on it.
Yeah, it's like you get a poppy seed bun.
Okay.
Usually a little celery salt.
Sure.
Relish, mm-hmm. onion, mustard.
So you could theoretically do a Chicago dog with like a turkey hot dog.
Oh, I imagine so, yeah.
Because I don't like regular hot dogs.
Yeah, because they usually do Vienna beef. Or you can get it on a Polish.
Beef is good. I don't mind beef. But, like, yeah. I don't like pig sausage.
Correct. Let's see. I don't know why I said correct to your tastes. Anyway.
You know that about me. That's correct. That's a correct statement.
Chicago-style hot dog. They actually have their own Wikipedia article.
Oh, my God.
It's an all-beef Frankfurter.
Sure.
On a poppy seed bun.
Mm-hmm.
Topped with yellow mustard.
Right.
White onions.
Mm-hmm.
A sweet, bright green sweet pickle relish.
Okay.
A dill pickle spear.
Oh, that's a lot of pickle.
Yep. We love our pickles. Tomato slices or wedges.
Okay. Oh, that's why you don't need the ketchup.
Pickled sport peppers.
Jesus.
And a dash of celery salt.
There's a lot of shit on there.
The complete assembly of a Chicago hot dog is said to be dragged through the garden. That's like I'd like my hot dog dragged through the garden.
Oh, yeah, 'cause it's got a lot of vegetables on it. Actually, you know what? Considering how much we just dragged Chicago for having only meat, there's a lot of veggies on there.
There's a lot of veggies on there. Mostly pickles.
And, you know... Nothing.
Tomatoes.
Nothing wrong with pickles.
Yeah, the canonical recipe does not include ketchup, and there is a widely shared strong opinion among Chicagoans and aficionados that ketchup is unacceptable. Some Chicago hot dog vendors don't even offer ketchup.
I have no opinion on ketchup.
Oh, for National Hot Dog Day on July 19th, 2017... Heinz created controversy by introducing ketchup labeled as Chicago dog sauce. Oh, Heinz.
Heinz, you fucked up.
That's beautiful.
Way to not read your I would say audience, but
that sounds sarcastic to me, but let's see. So, they're generally steamed or boiled.
Okay.
The sausage itself.
Not grilled.
But the less common style is called the char dog, where it is grilled.
Got it.
They are easily identifiable because very often the ends of the dog are sliced in a crisscross fashion before cooking. So the ends like curl a bit. I don't know why. But goddamn, if you've never had a Chicago dog, get yourself a Chicago dog. They're fucking good.
They sound okay.
Windy City here is...
I've been there.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, I met your dad.
Yeah, I met your dad. No, he goes there all the time. That's the food of his people.
I mean, you were also there.
I know. It's the food of my people.
You know what the food of my people is?
Humans.